Good morning, everyone. Coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, it is Saturday morning's hottest streaming media political talk show, Inside the Eye, live with The Fedge.
If it was up to me, I'd dump the Israelis tomorrow.
Heck, did I just hear someone tell a standing member of Congress that if it were up to them, they would dump the Israelis tomorrow? Sounds like something you might hear right here on Inside the Eye Live.
The Fetch. What a man. Oh, my God. You have to listen to that show. He was brilliant. I didn't know he had gonads of steel like that and a mind like a frigging razor. I didn't realize he was so clear. He cut through this that cognitive dissonance that is going on in the whole Patriot music movement.
And now it's time for Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. All right, everybody, from Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, this is The Fetch, and you are indeed live inside the eye. Today's date is Saturday, July the 13th, 2019, and a good Saturday morning to all of you listening out there in the United States and Canada, and a good late afternoon to early evening to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones, and of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web, or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets. May all be well with you and yours. Now, the weather here in Riyadh, as you might expect, is quite hot. Today's highs hit 109 degrees under clear, sunny skies and winds of around 14 miles per hour coming out of the north-northwest, which is, I might add, a rather unconventional wind direction for this location here. But anyways, the current temperature is sitting at 107 degrees at just after 5 in the afternoon. But truth be told, you're actually often more comfortable here in 107 degree weather than Amman with 88 degree weather, because we have air conditioning and you don't have it in Amman. So actually, it's very comfortable. I've kind of turned everything off, kind of cooled off the house a little bit, got everything up and running just before showtime. And hopefully we're going to have a reasonably event-free show today. Now, of course, you can't beat the evenings, quite frankly, or the mornings in Amman, though. It's fantastic in Amman. Temperatures here in Riyadh should dip down to 100 degrees around 8 o'clock in the evening. They'll dip down to a further 90 degrees around midnight, and they will hit an ultimate low of 82 degrees in the hour before sunrise. Now, having flown into Riyadh this past Tuesday, needless to say, you are not brought in to hang out around in hotel rooms. So I've been running around and pretty much of my time here. Yesterday, I had largely a day off, but I didn't have a whole lot of time off before Thursday's show, and I was absolutely dead tired. I'm not so dead tired today, a little bit more energy. It's not so late. It's not 1 o'clock in the morning type of stuff. But I just got back to the hotel literally at about 4:40 today, just busy out because the clients have you out. And we're looking at a bunch of stuff and new buildings and discussions and meetings and strategies and all that kind of stuff that you might imagine going that might go on in these types of things. But needless to say, yours truly does some unique work and there's no complaints. And it's great to be here. We're still trying to get our move done to the Philippines. I'm here because I need to pull like most of us, extra cash, you know. But nonetheless, guys, we're trying to hold our own here as we move into the final month of, really, we're not even halfway done with this month. It's just, I know it's going to go fast. But anyways, everything is going fine, guys. Really, I'm the next 2 weeks because of the move, I'm packing in a lot of information. Really a lot of activity within the next couple of weeks, simply because I will be out of work basically formally for like 3 weeks once I get over to the Far East. And we may shift some of the tone of our show, quite frankly, to issues relative to Asia. And I know that's not something that I've covered much here on Inside the Eye Live, but to be truthful, guys, long before I came to the Middle East, I had spent years upon years, probably a decade and a half equally, doing sales in the aerospace defense world in Asia. I had clients throughout Asia, quite frankly, from Korea to China to Singapore to Australia to Taiwan, not too much Taiwanese, to be honest with you, but some, Japan a lot. So I used to do a lot of work over there. I used to do work with the people like in the telecom sector. So I'm not unfamiliar with the international business out there. I've been doing this, guys, a really long time. And unfortunately, my hair is a little gray to show that. But nonetheless, hey, this is where life takes you sometimes. So I'm kind of excited. I'm also excited to get back. We've got some wonderful, exciting things happening here equally in the Middle East. But I'm just looking forward to just getting things under control and moving forward. So thanks, everybody out there, with your thoughts and, of course, your donations. Thanks so much for that. Trust me. Anyways, where were we? We just starting the show. That's where we were. It's first, let me just say the chat room. It's open, InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's InsideTheEyeLive.com. You can click on the live chat button. I'm actually there. It is not humming. Guys, we need to come up with a... You guys in the chat room, why don't you think of this? 10 or less. 10 or less is quiet. 5 or less is dead, okay? If there's like only 1 through 5 people in the chat room, that's dead, okay? If we go from like 6 to 10, that's quiet, okay? Now then, from 11 to 15, what are we going to name that? We got to give that a name. And then from 16 to 20, which is where we're at now, that's good. Let's just call that okay. Let's call that okay. And then 20 plus, I call it humming. So we got humming down. So guys, we need a name for the chat room again for all these various cycles so that we can just kind of like lay it out there. If you're in on the inside, you know what's going on. Right now, it's okay. Actually, it's good. 17 is good. Let's call 17, 16 to 20 good, everybody. So join us in the chat room. Again, a lot of people enjoy the chat room. They tell me that. So they pop in, they pop out, and they like it. So, hey, what can I say? So it's Ikey has been there a long time now. Ikey, you've been joining us for quite some time. He actually checks in, everybody, from Germany. So I think it's Munich. Don't quote me on that, Ikey, but I think I see you coming in from Munich or München or something like that. But I know, I believe you're coming in from Germany. So welcome. George, is George here? I don't see George here, but he's usually coming in from the UK. So we've got an audience that's pretty well spread out across the globe that comes around. George is saying, I didn't check that, but he's saying that the Wimbledon result was the racist example of white privilege. I guess if it's not white privilege, it's transgender benefit when you have basically the Serena Williams winning, something like that. I don't know. I haven't followed any tennis or anything at all lately. Once I landed here, I haven't been able to get to access to any sports whatsoever. So I'm like in withdrawal, everybody. I traveled light. I don't know if you guys have ever traveled. I assume most of you have, or many of you have for sure. And I traveled light. I only took like the two computers. Obviously, we took the gear here for the show. And then we took basically just 3 pair of pants, 4 shirts, undershirts, and underwear. And that's it, man. Glasses, and that's it. I mean, we traveled light here. My whole kitchen, it's actually a nice place. They put me in a very nice place. No complaints. Small refrigerator, but my diet basically, guys, get this, is basically egg sandwiches with cheese and potato chips. I have no other food here, absolutely no other food at all. So, and I just don't want to bother buying because I'm only going to be here for a couple of weeks. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'll go out, buy some potatoes and boil up some potatoes or something, man. But hey, I don't know what I'm going to do. Let's see. Serena is hot. Give me a break, dude. Come on. What else is news? Telephone lines, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. So feel free to go ahead and join, call in. A lot of you, of course, are out there in America. We got a large American audience. Tropical Storm Barry is landing. It was kind of funny. I was talking to a supporter of our show here. He lives down in the Gulf area. I was talking to him late one night, I believe just Thursday night, and he's right on the ocean. And I tell you what, man, a cell came over, and it sounded like his house was going to explode. It was just the loudest thing I've ever heard, considering we were talking on Skype. So it was pretty impressive. And this storm, this, I guess, Tropical Storm Barry, it's not the biggest thing in the world. However, it is still expected to drop some 14 trillion, that's right, 14 trillion gallons of rainwater are expected to be dropped on Louisiana in this storm. Of course, it's not just Louisiana, but it's going to be Mississippi and Arkansas also. The storm, it's basically been affecting the Gulf Coast for a few days now. Rains, of course, are leaving some roads underwater. Gusty winds have knocked out some power over there. More than 45,000 people in southern Louisiana lost power overnight, according to outage maps from Entergy Louisiana and CLECO Power. And more than 30,000 people are without power in Assumption, Jefferson, Terrebonne, and LaForge, St. Mary, and Washington, wherever that is. I'll assume that's Louisiana. Wind and rain are expected to affect some 3 million people. As far as dogs go, you know, a lot of dogs were actually flown out of Louisiana ahead of Barry just to avoid euthanasia, it said. That would be some dogs that were already rescued. The biggest concern, of course, is water, both from the ocean storm and from the inland flooding. Essentially, what you have is a storm heading up the Mississippi River, pushing back the Mississippi River, basically slowing down to stopping the flow of the water. As it goes out into the Gulf, that creates, of course, a backwash, and that could affect storm flooding in the Louisiana area. They don't believe they're actually going to get heavy flooding from this storm. Apparently, the Mississippi River has already crested, and it was a couple feet below even the top. I think the top of that crest line, the flooding is like 19 and a half to 20 feet. And it crested like it's 17 and a half feet. So it looks like they're going to be okay in that regard. As of about 7 o'clock this morning, Barry was located 50 miles southwest of Morgan City, Louisiana. And maximum sustained winds were only 70 miles per hour. And that is according to the National Hurricane Center. Tracking forecasts showed the storm moving north. And that was, again, swelling the Mississippi River basin with water. That eventually is going to have to, again, flow south again. Otherwise, it will start to, I guess, kill off the levee, something like that. You know, it just reminded me of a song, you know, by Led Zeppelin. If it keeps on raining, the levee's going to break. It was good morning, everybody. I'm not sure when it looks like they may not even get to be a hurricane. Poor Barry, he's not going to make it. He's just not going to make it. You know, this week, we had a guy by the name of Donald Trump. That's right, Donald Trump. He held his social media, social media summit at the White House 2 days ago, Thursday. And, of course, we covered that some on the Thursday show. And what amazed me is the coverage from the mainstream media and the dishonesty and the unethical nature of Jewish media. Because let's be honest, most of those people there, we know some of their names. We know some of the people. Quite frankly, we've been involved with some of these people over the years. And when you look at headlines like CNN puts out, Trump invites right-wing extremists to the White House. And I'm like, who in the hell is CNN to use such language against us Americans? This enemy of the American people, this dishonest, unethical agency should really be torn apart, quite frankly. Let's see. White House social media summit, they're saying it's not going to be a one and done. Another one, Vox. Vox is, of course, the one that wrote the story about me back in 2011, 2012. back when I was confronting the trolling culture of the internet, which now runs the internet, quite frankly, Trump's social media summit was a circus. No, what's a circus is the fact that people like Vox is nothing but a troll organization. What's a circus is that the Jewish media simply lies through their teeth. What's a circus is the fact that the Jewish media is so unethical and dishonest in its reporting. That's the real circus here. And they said, well, look, Facebook and Twitter were left out of this social media summit. I'm like, well, so what? They're not social media. Twitter and Facebook are not social media. That's a key point to remember here. They're platforms. They're service providers. They should be treated as such. And if they do not start to treat all of us fairly, they should be changed from being a service provider to being a media company. And consequently, we will then be able to sue them left and right for everything that appears on their website. If they want to take such an active role in taking us down, meaning those of us in the alternative media, then perhaps it's about time that we take these companies down. And that's really the key point here, is that the companies themselves really need to either be broken up, taken apart, or destroyed. I don't care about your pension plan, quite frankly. I still care more about the national health of our media and the national health of our national discourse, so that we can get back to being educated and try to get people to understand exactly what is going on relative to Jewish control of our nation. There's another company, who knows, who cares, but the title came out, Trump's Social Media Summit was a celebration of conspiracy theorists. Well, the fact of the matter is that the mainstream media peddles the Holocaust. You want to think about a conspiracy theory there? The Holocaust really happened, really? You got to be a real flaming nutcase to believe, quite frankly, in the Holocaust. And I know a lot of people that really do. They just can't get out of that conspiracy theory. The mainstream media pushes the official narrative on 9/11. Well, again, you'd have to be a flaming lunatic, quite frankly, at this stage to really believe in the official narrative of 9/11. So again, the idea that the mainstream media can project onto us what is really all about them has become the laughable absurdity of our current media state. These companies, quite frankly, have no ethics. They have no morals. They have no values. They have no standards. They have really no intelligence. They're not like they are staffed with intelligent people. They're overpriced, paid crybabies who really don't have a clue what they're really doing, apart from making a lot of loud noises and stomping around like, dare we say, a Jew. You know, I don't know if I can say that so early in the morning. Oh, they're probably going, it's heat. I can just hear these guys. Guys, relax. You guys are nutcases. Another here. Okay, this isn't so bad. Trump Social Media Summit full of conservatives. That's not such a bad headline. Trump Social Media Summit is about intimidating social media. What's it say? The president can't actually, what? That's terrible. It just didn't give me the right link there. Trump's, the cleverness, it says here, of Trump's social media summit, the president can actually crack down on Facebook and Twitter's supposed bias, but he can achieve something else. And it's not supposed bias. Again, the arrogance of Jewish media. It's not supposed. Look, so many of us have been banned. What do these morons really within the Jewish controlled media really think? Are they really that stupid that we don't know what the social media companies are doing to us? And then they throw out words like supposed bias. And the first thing that comes to my mind is, what moron wrote this? And so I go down and it's April. Oh, a Jewish name, Glaser. Isn't that amazing? So basically you got some nutcase Jew making charges, allegations, dishonest, unethical type of headlines, and yet we're the conspiracy theorists. Yet all the time we say the nutcases out there are Jews, and here it is. How can you use a word like supposed? What an idiot. Did she go to Jewish schools to learn this level of tactless idiocy, or is it just culturally ingrained in their DNA? I don't know. Maybe I could give her a call because I'd like to know, look, are you culturally this stupid, or did you actually go to Jewish school to learn to be this stupid? I'd like to know. Seriously, I would like to ask her straight to her face. Maybe she'll call me. I doubt it. Somehow I doubt it. These nutcases usually kind of cower in their cubicles and then they scream anti-Semite. Oh, please. Anyways, these guys are kind of full. But really, that was the key take out of this, was the way in which the mainstream media tried to skew this in such a way that somehow the mainstream media actually makes any sense to us. I haven't really read much in the mainstream media worth a darn in years. Most of the stuff, crap, really, that the mainstream media puts out really is biased. It's judgmental. It's propaganda. It's written poorly. It's agenda driven. There's very little about the Jewish media right now that has any value, and why it's allowed to stay in business, I guess, I'm going to just guess this, is because essentially Jewish media companies are able to tap into Jewish funding sources, and then Jewish funding sources is able to tap into like Jewish printing of our money and things like that. It'd be kind of funny if we took away all the printing of the money, took all the money away from Jews, and then let's see how smart they really are, because it would just be a reversal of what Jews are doing to societies wherever they lord over and try to control. What else do we want to say about that? There's got to be a few more cool things we can talk about that. Well, we only got 2 minutes to go. Didn't really give us that. I'm going to go to another thing. Anyways, good morning again. If you want, make your way over to the chat room. Again, try to get that place humming. I haven't gone to look just yet, guys. But I'm going to go to one of my favorite news aggregation sites. It's a secret. Social Media Summit. Social Media Summit. And it'll just give me wonderful headlines. Just roll down. Here's one. Trump spent his entire social media summit complaining people aren't retweeting him. No, that's not how I saw that. What I saw, again, that's vice. That's stupid. Dude, did you watch the press conference? That was just dumb. That's a stupid thing. Robert Bluey, Trump's social media summit spotlights widespread anti-conservative bias by tech. That's actually pretty true. Donald Trump kicks off yet another weekend with a wild retweet. I haven't seen that. I can't get on. See, that's just it. Well, we can't retweet Trump because most of us are banned from Twitter. And I think that's a key point to remember here. A lot of us are actually banned, and that's a key point. Let's see. Going into a break now, everybody. Welcome. Good Saturday morning. Good morning. Good morning. Back with more right after this. All right. Welcome back, everybody. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye Live, Intelligent Media for the Politically Aware. Again, it's Saturday, July the 13th. Is it 13? Yeah, July 13th, 2019. So we are already halfway done through the year now, heading on into what do you say, the second half of the year or something like that. I got some interesting stories coming in. First of all, we want to say this is listener-sponsored and supported radio. It does rely upon your donations, really, to help keep things alive, up and running. And without your support, guys, we don't have the platform. And I am here all the time. As you know, guys, I've been here for a lot of years. I'm not going anywhere. I don't see any opportunities that provide me the coverage that this place gets. But, guys, we have a large audience, but we need a little to support the network a little bit equally, because, again, without your support, it just kind of actually kind of looks bad, too. It's like, Fetch, you got a great audience, but nobody donates, man. But you're good. You're good. Trust me, you're good. Anyways, but that's just kind of the way it goes. So do what you can. Revolution.radio, everybody. Revolution.radio. Check out the website. Many opportunities there to go ahead and support the network, get some slag, some other stuff, whatever you want. Go ahead and subscribe to the to the archives, just many things you can do to help support the network. I think Spooner. I don't know if it's Jim or John. I'm not sure, but you know who you are, actually. Thanks for the donation. He's part of the $5 a month. Jim Fire, really, I believe. That's who it is. Jim Fire. I had to think, man. I'm getting confused. But Jim Fire has always been a part of the, the $5 a month club, as far as supporting the show. Thanks for that. That did come in, I believe, two weeks ago. Martin G, you know who you are, up in Salmon Arm. Thank you very much for a $50 Canadian donation. It's still okay. That's good. To Mr. Graham Hart, again, normally what I do, guys, is if you tell me this is for the show, I use the money for the show. I don't use it for my private usage anymore. Thank goodness I don't need it, you know, type of thing, at least for now. So Graham said he was going to throw in a donation of $50 to help move the cats. And so thanks very much for that, Graham. I did see, maybe he said, no, I didn't mean that. That's for more donation on the cat report for sponsorship on Thursday. Perhaps it is. Okay. Maybe I should backtrack that before I get a nasty, nasty message on my Skype account. But Graham, thanks so much for that. It came in today as promised. What else? I think that's about it for now. Maybe I'm missing somebody. I don't mean to, everybody, but it is time for the ITIL Cat Report. It is proudly sponsored by Frederick. Actually, it's by North Kakalaki Trading Post. Good services and solutions for all creatures, great and small. It's inconveniently located at the corner Walk and Don't Walk and by Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club, a radio show hosted by Frederick C. Blackburn. Again, you can catch his show every Wednesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. on the Spreaker Radio Network. And for more information, be sure to visit Blackbird Nine TradingPost.org. Blackbird Nine TradingPost.org. Man, there's so much to remember there, man. But anyways, I kind of remember it after all these years, right? He's actually been a great sponsor all this time. He's been sponsoring it really this whole time. You know, I thought I might be late today. I was out and about doing some stuff. We're actually looking at buildings, to be honest with you, just looking at buildings, maybe to move some corporate headquarters. So we were looking at a building today. And I'm like, man, I gotta go. You know, so I'm looking at this one, and he's like, you want to go up to the roof and see what the roof? No, that's okay. I don't need to say it. No, but really, it's you know, we were just out today looking at buildings and doing some other things. So I got back again late. So I had sent Frederick a message. Frederick, hey man, if I'm late and I don't make it, can you go ahead and take over the show here? Let's see if I got this guy still on the line. Did he drop the call from the 520 area code? Are you still on the line or did I forget to get you? I think he dropped the call. Okay. Again, I'm sorry about that. I got talking. I just forgot to look at the switchboard. But nonetheless, yeah, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. This week's cat report is mainly about the move. If you were listening Thursday, we got the formal quotation came in. We had set up a GoFundMe for about $750 to help with the move. We thought that was going to be more than enough, quite frankly. I was expecting the cost to be $450 to $550, something like that. So I figured shoot high, hope you get what you can. And the budget came in to move the cats, guys. Four cats, one shot, $1,400. I got kind of angry. I thought, why is that so expensive, you know? But right now, that's the best quote I have. That's moving them out on Qatar Airways, on the same flights, basically, as me. So there's transit time and things like that. I'm like, dang, man, that's so expensive. That's like expensive. It's like $1,000 JD, $1,400. My tickets aren't even $500, you know, one way. I still got to fly home. That's going to be another $500. But nonetheless, guys, it's expensive. So if any of you are feeling frisky this month and you have the ability to help donate to that, again, you can reach me at my PayPal account, fetchshow.dennis@gmail.com, I believe it is my public one. I'm not sure what I'm using, quite frankly. Maybe it's the Fetch It Inside the Eye Live. But if you go to my website, Inside the Eye Live, there's a sponsorship and donations. You can go to that page and click on just donate whatever and send what you can. That would really be helpful, to say the least. I'm here to actually to try to pick up some extra money to obviously manage the move, because it's becoming a little bit more expensive than I'd hoped. We'll get it done, guys. I mean, this is our this white privilege stuff, to where, you know, we manage to figure things out type of thing. It's that white privilege we get to deal with, and we will figure it all out. But nonetheless, whatever you guys can do out there, it would be appreciated. That's the main part of the Cat Report. Again, I've been gone since Tuesday, so I don't really know what's going on with the cats. I do know good old Ming Ming. She's still a baby. She got a bath, man. She hates taking a bath. It's like, you want to take a bath, and you can just see her like cowering in fear. It's like, no. I don't want to take a bath, man. No. That's not for me. And what's funny about the cats, guys, is if you give them a cold bath, they will like absolutely shoot up your arm like a rocket. But as long as that water is reasonably warm, they're generally a little bit more polite. And I'll tell you what, they probably would jump up your arm here, because there's no like warm water here. Everything is hot. I tell you, everything is absolutely hot. You know, here in Saudi Arabia, except for your shower, they do not ever put hot water in the kitchens. I don't know if you know that. They don't actually put hot water in the kitchens. Normally, they're just going to use the hot water coming from the roof, and it's hot enough. So there's generally no hot water. And you don't need it, quite frankly. Why burn up energy to heat water that's already hot, right? So anyways, that's the ITIL Cat Report again. Do what you can. We've gotten some money in. Total that's come in is close to $500 so far, and that's really been helpful. Maybe $520. But the move is, I'm not even joking with you guys, it is what it is. And $1,400 to move the cats in one shot. If I don't move them in one shot, it's actually going to be about $280 more. So I'm going to try to get Pressy's kittens away from Pressy before I move, and just try to bring Pressy with me on the move. I still got to buy another case. That's another like $60, almost $100. Man, it's expensive, guys. But nonetheless, we will get it done. It's going to be a stressful summer for yours truly, but we're going to get through this and, of course, keep the show going. So thanks so much for your support. And if you can lend some support, please do so. Please do so. I've never asked like this before. And again, we will manage it. Don't worry. If you can't afford, don't worry. Don't feel guilty. But if you can, guys, do what you can, because I know some of you can, and I know a lot of you can. So again, try to get that done. That would be very, very helpful. So thanks so much for that. What else is news? I think it's time for something that everybody loves also, and that is the Oy Vey moment.
Oy Vey! Oy Gewalt! It's like another shower.
Oy vey.
Oy vey.
Oy vey, everybody.
How is it run by Jews? They don't like you. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on boy and tears.
Oy vey.
Oy vey, everybody.
The Oy vey moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Andy himself at AndrewCarringtonHitchcock.com. Get your copy today, won't you? And. This week's Oy Vey moment, we got a few. Some of them actually aren't very funny. And but again, you know, it just shows you that things happen out there. And one of those, it's being reported, sorry about that, reported in RT, Russia Today. And they've been doing some good work as of late. And what they're reporting here is that there was a Dutch millionaire just this week. He was a Jewish community leader. He was literally stabbed and then waterboarded. That's right. Stabbed and then waterboarded. And I'm like thinking to myself, this is tragic. Let's be honest. That type of stuff is tragic. And I think to myself, of all the tragic things that have befallen people in America, all of the tragic things that Jews did to people in Russia, Armenia, Palestine, what they've really even been doing to a lot of our friends and family in America. And I'm like, you know, I feel for you, dude, but at the same time, you probably would be cheering if something like this happened to a goy. Of course, that's maybe sounds a little harsh, and yeah, it is. It's not a very nice thing to be saying. But what happened? I mean, come on, dude. You're a millionaire. You got all this money. You're basically a beacon of light. You like to show off, apparently, that you're a Jew and you're awesome. And again, you know, what's interesting about this story is that we're not hearing cries of anti-Semitism. Isn't that amazing? We have a Jewish community leader. He was tortured, waterboarded. He was knifed. The guy was attacked inside his home. And police, although they have not, quote unquote, ruled out anti-Semitism, which sounds like an absurdity by itself. What do you call something when a white girl gets stabbed and tortured? Did Jews have a special phrase for us, or is it only special phrases for them? So Benoit Wesley says he survived this all. He had a nightmare experience. Maybe he was actually just dreaming it after all. Who knows? It says Wesley's mouth and nose were then tightly covered with a piece of cloth, and the attackers poured water over his face. And I'm like thinking, you know what? It's probably just another one of those fake stories by a fake person claiming to be a Jew to try to get some type of sympathy. There is another kind of a oy vey moment, though, and that is there's a Dutch parody came out with a song. And the song was a parody of the Eurovision song. And the Israeli ambassador is labeling this song, guess what? Pro-China? No, wait, come on. This is the oy vey moment. Labeling anti-Semitic. Actually, labeling this song as anti-Semitic. And this is actually going back some time, so we're going to skip it. Why is RT putting this thing here? So leave that one. You guys are crazy. Give me a common story. All right, this one is current, thank goodness. This came out just today. German Jewish leaders are condemning as anti-Semitic items on Amazon. So apparently, it's okay for Jews to ban material that they don't like, but they want to criminalize if we try to take down Jewish material. And that would be something through like the BDS movement. So think about that for a second. If Jews want to have a unilateral right to force non-Jewish goods off of store shelves, and Amazon at the end of the day is a store, it can sell what it wants, quite frankly, then at the same time, Jews have no business telling us that we have to buy Jewish goods, that we have to honor Israeli goods. Because the hypocrisy, the chutzpah, it's unbelievable, quite frankly. Who are Jews to say, well, this is pro-Nazi, so you got to take it down? And we're saying, well, this is pro-Jewish, so take it down equally. Because the way that the Jewish people, and it's Jewish people here as a large segment, the way they have structured the narrative is that there's basically Germans and there's Jews, and the rest of the world doesn't exist. And Germans bad, Jews good. Germans bad, Jews good. And that's kind of all we keep hearing here from the Jewish community. We've been getting this call coming in a few times. Let's see who it is here. 52 area code. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live. Hello.
How many times are you going to let
your kid? You know what? Don't call during the oy vey moment, dude. You know the show. Come on. You should not be calling during the oy vey moment. This is a special segment, but thanks for calling. Ah, geez. He's calling during the oy vey moment. Like, who's he to take over the oy vey moment? Sorry, Rick. The rabbi doesn't want to. Anyways. But see, the Jewish community is out there. You got basically a couple rabbis out there. Joseph Schuster, and he is within, I think, Germany here. He says the Central Council of Jews in Germany denounced online retail giant Amazon on Saturday for allowing the sale of anti-Semitic books and pro-Nazi merchandise, calling for the practice to immediately stop. And our word to that is very simply put that the Jewish community has no right unilaterally labeling anything and then demanding, because they said so, that we don't have access to material. The point here is that who really, and this has to be communicated to the Jewish community in not so uncertain terms here, who are you to dictate to us what we can and can't say? Who are you in the Jewish community to dictate to us what we can and can't buy? Who are you in the Jewish community to dictate to us what we can and can't read? Who are you? Seriously, who are you? Tell us, who are you in the Jewish community to be making these decisions for us? Did we elect you as somehow our guardian of reality, of our own nations, of our own cultures, of our own intellectual health here? What is it about you and the Jewish community that makes you so freaking arrogant and stupid that people start to loathe you, not because you're a Jew, but because you behave the way you do? Which I guess we would just have to make it simple and say, hey, you're acting like a Jew, but you want to claim that's anti-Semitic. But you have to deal with the fact that the people here making these statements, making these demands, are creating their own stereotype. We're not the ones doing the stereotyping here. We're observing a bunch of loathsome, disgusting people whining and complaining like a bunch of crybabies, acting as if somehow they're so mentally, intellectually superior to all of us, telling us what we can and can't have access to. Who are these people at the end of the day? Seriously, what hellhole, what rock did they crawl out from under to make them feel they have this right? That's a serious question, guys. Who are these people? I don't know what to say other than what disgusting people. Says here, the online giant has refused to comment. Hey, R&D reported that T-shirts, now this is what they're complaining about. R&D reported that T-shirts sold on the Amazon Marketplace platform, meaning its third-party sellers, included some bearing the slogan such as Brown Even Without the Sun and Nordic Rage Knows No Mercy. Well, you know what? Jewish rage knows no mercy. So who are you to make a comment in the Jewish community that this is somehow anti-Semitic? Nordic people have a right to their own cultural not persuasion, but their own cultural expressions. And it's not for the Jewish. You know what? It's hard for Jews to just get their nose out of everybody else's business. But that's really what's going on here. Hey, you in the Jewish community, go mind your own business. Get your nose out of everybody's business. Everywhere we turn, you're telling people what they can say, what they can do, what they can read, how they're supposed to talk. Get out of our business already. Oh, who can actually write on the internet? Seriously, these people are out of control. They don't have any morals. They have no ethics. They don't have no values. And they somehow want to act as if they can impose themselves on everybody at every little turn of the day. I mean, what is up with these people? Have they not grown up? And has nobody ever spanked? Yeah, they've been spanked so many times. They've been kicked out over 1,000 times in their history. I guess you can call that a euphemistic spanking, right? But these guys just don't know how to behave. And the more we follow what they're doing, it absolutely gets insane to observe. They whine incessantly about how anti-Semitic everything is. Yet they can't see that we're observing it from the sidelines saying, you freaking morons cry about everything. And you whine about everything, and you're the big bullies here, not everybody else. The bullies aren't the white nationalists. The bullies are the Jewish community. The intolerant people aren't the white nationalists. The intolerant people are coming from the Jewish community. They don't have any respect for anything that we want. They don't care. But you're supposed to kiss their you-know-what, and if you don't, you're an anti-Semite. What's this? Where does this work for us? And that's the key point here. Where does all of this intolerant bigotry of the Jewish community work for us? It's not. Everywhere we look, they're a failure. Every one of their policies is a failure. Every way they go about using the law for us is a failure. Everywhere they go about using their banking system for us is a failure. Everything about the Jewish community is a failure for us. It's a one-way street. They don't give back. They're not giving to society. For the money they spend, literally, guys, on flooding communities, they can invest in those communities and make them fantastic little small paradises, and everybody would be happy. But no, they don't know how to build. They only know how to short and destroy. And that's a key point for everybody to get their head around. If there is destruction in the winds, guess who's going to be behind the scenes? And you're not going to be wrong. They create the allegory. They create the archetype. They create the stereotype, not us. It's just common sense observance. Going into a break, everybody. That's the Oy Vey moment, again, proudly sponsored by The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, and back with more right after this. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Fetch Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware. It is now Saturday again, July 13th, 2019. One hour in the books. That's good, I guess. Huh? I don't know, guys. I'm feeling better, man. If you heard Thursday's show, it wasn't actually a bad show. I went back and gave it a listen. It wasn't so bad. I was just dead tired, man. I was like out of it. But I went back and listened to it. I thought, man, you were tired, dude. Go back and listen to that show. It wasn't bad. Go give it. If you haven't heard it yet, go give it a listen. It's on the right sidebar right now at InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's, again, it's on the right sidebar at InsideTheEyeLive.com. Generally, I put those up as soon as I can on the right sidebar. Sometimes it takes me a little bit longer to get the write-up show archive up itself, but you can usually catch it pretty quickly after that. Also available, grism.blogspot, or you can subscribe to the archives here at revolution.radio and pick up the shows that way. So those are the three main ways to get it. To get it, it's available at Hooli's blog.blogspot.com. But Hooli's picking it up from our feed. So if we don't have it, he's not going to have it. But those are the three places you can normally get it as far as the prime sources. Revolution.radio, Inside the Eye Live, and grism.blogspot.com. Those are your main three. And then, of course, Hooli's, if you're picking up from Hooli's or anywhere else, welcome. You know, after the social media summit this past week, there was an article came out about how the Justice Department is going to be meeting with all these Jewish groups. And I'm like, you know, what is it about the Justice? Why isn't the Justice Department meeting with those of us in the European American community? Why aren't we having a say about all the problems that are going on? And what a lot of people don't know, and I don't know how it is today because I haven't seen any updated research, but if you go back to 2011, 2012, something like that, of the key 46 or so Justice Department officials, key officials, 26 of those were Jews. Jews controlled over 50% of the Justice Department. So when you ask yourself why it's not working for you, well, that's because who controls it? I mean, again, that's the first question you got to ask. Who controls it? And if you can't see who controls it, then you got to look behind the scenes as to who's paying for that control. And so that sometimes it's the money behind it. But it's like, seriously, all of these people in 2011, 2012, over 50% of America's Justice Department was controlled by the Jewish community at large. How do you get justice when you have people that hate you in the Justice Department? So you wonder why nothing gets done. Why the corruption? Why the deep state? Again, all factors lead back to Jewish corruption of our societies. That's the real issue here, and that's the issue as I watched the social media summit. I never saw, and of course, I didn't expect to see it, but Trump never addresses. He says, oh, they're not fair to me. They're banning me. They're blocking me. Yeah, but who's doing the blocking, Trump? What do you think? If we don't see the militant LGBT community on one side, which is a Jewish ideological front, you think we don't see the Jewish groups like the ADL and the SPLC and others calling for people to be banned under quote-unquote hate speech because, oh boy, we Jews don't want to hear what you're saying because you're talking too truthfully and we hate to hear that. Trump never talks about any of this stuff, and none of this type of message got invited to that summit. Those who were even remotely viewed as quote-unquote anti-Semites were politely disinvited to come. They had been invited, but as soon as Mr. Jew over there in the corner says, Mr. Trump, this person's an anti-Semite, you can't bring him. What's Trump do? Oh, well, yes, sir, Mr. Jew, I'll do that for you. I'll uninvite him right now. Of course, Trump may not have obviously been personally responsible for all those, but that's how it works. So moving forward now, just this past week, we had a case being reported out of Russia Insider that on June 5th, 16 heads of Jewish organizations joined 25 Democratic senators in a private meeting. Now think about that. How many of us can get a private meeting with all of these senators? And are Jews going to say, well, we buy them? Oh, well, thank you. So you are corrupted. See, so they can't say that, right? They're not going to go, yeah, well, they have to see us because we buy them. We buy them. You know, they basically, these are our senators. They can't say that. But that's really what's happening in some respect. But think about it. It's not even mentioned in the U.S. papers. You have 16 heads of powerful Jewish organizations in America going to see one quarter of the Democrats of the Senate, the U.S. Senate, and it's not even reported inside of the United States. All except for one of these organizations are advocates for Israel. They advocate not for the American people. They're not advocating for anything but the state of Israel. Now, how do you get off with this type of meeting not being reported? I'll take this. 714 area code. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Trump's whole family's married to Jews, you moron.
Well, yes, he is. Yes, he is a rabbi. We all know that. So what else you got? We already know that, but what else you got?
So you got any more praise you want to do for the guy? You know, your only caller is a Stormfront moron who's allowed to call.
No, I got a Florida moron that calls me too, dude. So, you know, there's a two-way street.
Yeah, you're a Stormfront shill.
You know what? I've never listened to Stormfront.
Everybody knows it now.
Do you realize this guy's so whacked? I've never, ever in my life listened to Stormfront. I do my own thing. I'm a busy guy. I've never, ever listened to Stormfront, but this guy insists that I actually listen to Stormfront, and I'm a chauffeur. I don't even know what they do over there, to be honest with you. But then again, when you have the fake news and you have fake callers, sometimes that happens. They just make crap up and they just throw it out there because, hey, it's their right to say it. But it's our right also to say, well, he's full of it. Anyways, that's true, guys. It's an actual statement. I've never, ever in my life listened to Stormfront Radio. Never, ever. I do my own thing. I have my own unique style and take on everything. And quite frankly, I don't follow much of anybody out there simply because I'm a very, very busy guy and I got to do what I got to do. And then I come on and do the show for you guys. So, but thank you, Rick, for that call. Appreciate it. You got your say in. Back to the story here. Key groups included the Council of the Presidents of Major Jewish Organizations. But you know what? The Jews are going to say, well, we don't work in collusion. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And don't try to call us an anti-Semite for admitting the fact that you're working in collusion here. Now, you had the Anti-Defamation League was there, the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee. A number of the groups there lobbied Congress and the White House in support of the use of force against Iran. So again, are they really working for us, or are these all fifth column elements within the United States? We would argue that all of these organizations are fifth column elements, and all that needs to be done is for us to declare, quite frankly, it really is this simple, guys. The second you can get enough power out there, and the Jews know this, the second that you could get enough support to declare Jews and Israel, really Israel, not Jews, but Israel, as an enemy of the American people, which they are. The state of Israel is an enemy of the American people. They're behind the Liberty Affair. 1967. They're behind the Lavin affair. They were behind the Beirut bombing. They were behind so many other issues out there that they are not. Of course, 9/11 being their big Achilles heel. Let's see here. Calling from an unknown position. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
The Fetch.
Oh,
how
man.
You doing, baby?
Miles, right?
You got it, brother.
See, I do remember from show to show, dude. How you doing?
Oh, man, great. What about you? I hear you kicking.
I'm what?
I hear you kicking up your heels.
Oh, man. Yeah, I am kicking up my heels. It's stressful, man. We've had some
problems. Well, that's all right.
We had some problems too with the personnel within the family, so we've actually had to like ask people to leave the house. We don't, you know, it's like, man, this is getting more stressful than I want to deal with. But you know how it is. You just got to keep some sanity in your house. Otherwise, there's no sanity, right?
That's right. I'm glad you also, you know, you don't keep these callers around like the last guy. I mean, that agenda is just ridiculous.
It's dumb. You know, anyways, leave it. You know, who cares?
Yeah. So we got it. We don't have enough time with you as it is.
Yeah, exactly. And then me defending myself from actually ludicrous ideas. It's like, dude, come on. I wouldn't mind if he was okay. You know what I mean? I wouldn't mind if the guys, everybody that wants to call out there, if you are remotely close to being truth and you're sincere, I got no problem with that. I'll take any call. But if you're just out there to spread a bunch of ludicrous idiocy, hey, come on. We ain't got time for that.
Well, I mean, the guy, he's not looking cordial at all or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. And then you're accusing me of things I have nothing to do with, and then you're not even cordial. That's like two strikes, and I'll tell you what, the next pitch comes in. I don't care if it's 6 feet out. I'll still call it a strike.
Yeah, wouldn't even let you explain. Hey, I was going to ask one thing, and I don't want to keep you because I know everybody wants to get in. I'm waiting to hear Frank, Jack, whoever, the whole crew. It's always a great show. But, you know, when you mentioned this about meeting with the 25 senators, you know, which is a quarter of the Senate.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, I don't know all the laws everywhere or perhaps, you know, state by state regarding it, but isn't that possibly some type of violation of the Open Meetings Act?
And that's what we're thinking. These are issues that we Americans, we should be raising. Because you have Senator Chuck Schumer, right? We know about him. He's the Senate minority leader, actually. And he himself declares himself what's called a Shomer, S-H-O-M-E-R, or a guardian for the state of Israel. He's been in speeches openly saying my sole role inside the Senate is to protect Israel, not to be a senator for the American people. So, yeah, I think this is a very strong point to raise. Why are you guys meeting privately? What are you planning? What is up? Why weren't we involved? Why weren't we asked to come? Why weren't we invited? What are the minutes of this meeting? Where are they?
I mean, I would even maybe, you know, contemplate would something like that be conspiracy?
Well, it sure is a conspiracy. Conspiracy means just breathing the same airspace. Well, okay, it is a conspiracy.
Yeah.
On a very simple level, it is a conspiracy. You're all breathing the same space here, and we're not privy to it, so it's a conspiracy.
Oh my goodness! Well, Fetch, keep up the good work, and good luck with the cats and the move and everything, and just take it easy on yourself. We need you around. Without you, we lose our little touch with reality on these issues.
As you can tell, I've got a light mood today because I kind of agree with you. You know, just take it in stride and keep it light. You know what the heck? We're all gonna hopefully be awake tomorrow. You know what I've been doing?
Right,
you know what they're doing to me here? You know what I used to do, guys? I'll kind of share this story with you, Miles, is I used to be a high-profile negotiator. I don't know if people knew that. And I wasn't really a negotiator. I was like the guy that would come in and kind of like wow people at the first meetings. You know, five-star this, five-star that. You show up. And I'm being asked to kind of do one of these gigs also. So that's kind of like, kind of fun, man. They're like, wow, this guy's voice is golden. It's like, bring him to the meeting.
All right, buddy. God bless you, Fetch.
No, it's been a lot of fun.
Great job. We need you out here. And keep up the good shows.
Miles, thanks. Thanks so much, Miles. That's Miles, everybody, out in Maine. Really, Maine is my was my favorite state growing up. I used to love that state as far as the pine trees and the granite rocks and the gunk holing, you know, taking your sailboat out, exploring all the islands out there. It just seemed like a magical land to me. I heard the taxes were terrible. And it's a little bit harsh. The harsh part of Maine never really would have bothered me. I could have handled that with no problem. But just the idea of getting in your little boat and going out there, spunkholing, I think they call it, spelunking or something like that, checking out an island somewhere, taking your picnic basket, rowing onto the island, enjoying the day and trying to get out before the fog rolled in, because Maine is the foggiest state in the Union. So basically a lot of times their shoreline is kind of like fogged in. So you got to kind of get in and out before the fog hits, but it all just seemed like a great place to live. And now you got all these Somalians invading. It's like, what the hell are you guys doing here, man? Seriously, what are you doing here? Anyways, going back to this issue of the 25 senators. Now it said here that the meeting was by design, not a public event. And to a certain extent, it was actually secret because nobody ever talked about it. The time was not released. The place was not released. The participants were not actually released. And it was actually only reported in the Israeli media and Jewish media inside of Israel, but nobody reported it inside of America by and large. Now, according to after the fact coverage of the event by a gal by the name of Allison Ware, who writes a Scientific American's new website, even the congressional staffers and the offices were not aware that this meeting took place. So my question is, what are you guys doing behind the scenes? And where is our? See, here's the point here. Where is America's intelligence services monitoring this activity? This layer of collusion should absolutely be monitored by America's counterintelligence community here. Very simple. Every single one of these groups is essentially an Israeli front company. You've got 25 Democratic senators who are essentially Jewish meeting with this fifth column Israeli organization set. And you don't, if we don't have, again, I'm not involved. But the second I hear about stuff like this, I put my best counterintelligence people on it, and I make sure that those people are loyal to the United States and not loyal to the state of Israel, because that's the problem we have in America. Far too many of our intelligence/security people aren't even loyal to the American people. They're loyal to some deep state nutcase scenario, or they're loyal to the state of Israel, or they're loyal to some Jewish fifth column element. So what were they doing there? Seriously, nobody knows. There's been no statements issued. It was believed that the principal topic was how to contain and reverse pro-Palestinian sentiment among progressive Democratic voters, who, as they're saying, to the horror of the participants, actually have been embracing the possibility that Palestinians are human beings after all. Heaven forbid, right? And of course, another thing they want to talk about is this idea of how to combat boycott, divestment, and sanctions, the BDS movement. And of course, that has become a growing faction on campuses. We've already seen that Jews have engineered a anti-American, anti-free speech legislation in Florida that prevents people from actually even talking about Jews. Oh my goodness, they're so special, you can't talk about them. What's with this? Seriously, what's with this in America? When did America become this Pollyannish BS society based on Jewish logic and reasoning? Have you ever thought of that? We're becoming a Pollyannish culture based on the idiocy of Jewish logic and reasoning. Very simple. We know that these groups all support Israel. According to the Jewish Telegraph Agency news services, obviously, the support for it, but they're also talking about legislation to, quote unquote, combat anti-Semitism. Well, why are you trying to combat anti-Semitism? Why? We're the majority here, not this stupid minority Jewish people. Since when do they have a right to dictate to us everything about our political process like they do in the UK, which is already gone? Again, Americans need to look at what this and say, hey, look, You keep going down this road, we will keep raising the issue about how you are not loyal to us Americans, you're not loyal to the United States, and you are essentially fifth column elements engaging in sedition to destroy the United States of America. They're talking about allocating, guys, get this, $70 million per year. Actually, that's where it's at now. Current legislation allocates $70 million per year, and they want to increase this to $90 million per year for Jewish facilities. Since when do we, the American people, have to pay for your security? If you're so stupid that nobody likes you, you pay for your own security like we have to do. We're not sitting there having the American people go protect some Lutheran church somewhere or some Catholic church somewhere or some other organization that's a religious affiliation out there. So why are we bothering with protecting Jewish-only facilities? It sounds to me like this is just a bunch of pigs at the trough taking all this money from the treasury, and then we're not supposed to notice that you got a bunch of Jewish pigs at the trough stealing from the treasury. Oh, we're so privileged. You guys are sitting there getting private meetings with 25 senators, and you want to talk about how you're being oppressed? Give us a frickin' break already. Seriously, give us a frickin' break. You're no more oppressed than I am Jewish, man. And I'm about as Jewish as you are oppressed, if that's the case. What else, man? It's just unbelievable, quite frankly. So basically, again, you have a private meeting, 25 senators, all of it has pro-Israel issues going on. And the reality is that the federal government's pandering to Israel is both bipartisan and it's global in its reach. So basically, anytime you hear something called bipartisan in America, that just means it's supported by the Jewish community at large. Doesn't matter which side of the aisle of the Jewish community. The United States uniquely has a special envoy to combat anti-Semitism on a global scale. Who else has that? Nobody else has that. So basically, this is pandering to a fifth column, treasonous, seditious, if not treasonous, element inside of America. And remember this, if you can get Israel to be declared an enemy of the American people, which it is, Israel is an enemy of the American people. That makes now any support, and we need to declare that Israel is at war with the United States, which it is. America is at war with Israel, but we're basically allowing the Israelis to control our government. But we're still at war with them, whether you want to call it that or not. Now, the second you figure out that you're at war with Israel, that makes now every single element within the Jewish community that supports Israel treasonous. And now you can start the executions. That's kind of how it works, logically, legally. There has to be a recognition that you're at war, that the state of Israel is at war with us, that by observation we can see, quite frankly, we can see the collusion and the conspiracy between certain members of Congress and the Jewish community. And we see what comes out of those meetings. More and more oppression for us and more money for the Jewish community. Why is the Jewish community taking 94% of all grants for quote-unquote security from the Department of Homeland Security? 94%. Why is it they take so much? They're only 2% of our population. Why are we bothering funding it? They're so rich, they can do whatever they want. Let them fund it themselves. It's kind of like Israel. They got like 138 billionaires there, and yet we're funding them? Yeah, no wonder there's so many billionaires when you can basically live your life for free. Heck, I can barely move my cats, and these Jews are like, oh, you're just jealous. No, I want my money back. I want every ounce and every single shekel that went over to Israel, I want to put back into the American people. I want every single issue that goes to Jewish community taken away. Then let's see how you and the Jewish community say, oh, you're just jealous. You're just jealous because we have more money than you. You know, because you guys steal it. Bottom line. 94% of the grants go to you guys, and you're trying to tell me that that's not theft? It's just organized theft. Organized theft. No other way to discuss this issue. We're going into a break already. All right, it's The Fetch, everybody. Inside the Eye Live. It's Saturday again, June 13th, 2019. Back with more right after this. All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It's Saturday. It's the Fetch. That's right. It's me. I'm here. And doing okay. I've got a nice nice weekend or week actually lined up this week. I'm looking forward to getting out, getting a lot of things accomplished. I'm going to be very, very busy over the next 3 to 5 days. And then from there, I might actually be doing even more traveling, everybody. It's going to be a hectic time. This summer, I'm not actually getting a good break, and that's good. Maybe I can make some money. Joining Frank, did you jump off the line there? Frank was just here. He jumped off the line. There he is. There you are, Frank. Let me try to put you back on there. And there he is. Okay, hi, Frank. Welcome. Inside the Eye Live. Welcome.
Hey, Dennis. Yeah, that was just me calling in, but I had a really raw line. I never heard anything
that's
quite
right.
like that.
So it's IP. But, don't worry. Voice over IP, yeah, man, you know, it happens. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, what you're talking about, I mean, we've been conquered. I mean, we've been colonized.
Yes.
You know, people from this 2% of our population, they run the Pentagon, the State Department, the Justice Department, you know, our foreign policy, our domestic policy, the propaganda. I mean, they run it all. And
they fail, quite frankly, too. Yeah, and all the problems
I encourage people to
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I encourage people to do whatever they think they can do, but I mean, in the end, I just don't see a lot of hope.
Well, a lot of people say that, and that's okay. You know, we don't want to spread that message too far and wide. You know, we have to go ahead and keep things on the positive side. But a lot of people agree with you, quite frankly. If we're going to be honest here, and we generally try to be, there's a lot of people that agree with you, even though they don't want to talk about it too much. You know, you don't want to give the troops any demoralized thoughts than they already got, you know, that type of thing. But one shall see. You know, we have to wait and see. It's usually a long battle. These things are not won overnight. It didn't get to this situation overnight. So let's see how things continue to move, you know. Someone told me, Frank, the reason why they're holding all these secret meetings is they realize their whole freaking narrative is starting to get smashed upon. It's not just us on the fringe anymore. It's getting out there. People are actually starting to notice, like every time you turn around, some Jew's whining about something. And that's becoming even more prevalent, even with normal people that just don't have a clue. So just be patient. We have no other choice. You must just, you know, take care of the family, live well and be patient and try to do your best.
Yeah, that's sound advice. Hey, back to L.A.
Yeah.
Have you heard this story? I'm not a big fan of Andrew Anglin. I'm not on the internet, but I hear stories from time to time, things that he's posted. But he and probably a few others out there have posted some of this information, these articles about the L.A. Sheriff's Department and how it's been being taken over by the Hispanic gangs. They have a certain tattoo that they have a skull tattoo with a sombrero on it.
Yeah, I have heard about
this.
That
they all wear.
Yeah, I didn't hear it through the Anglin people, but yeah, I have heard about this. It wouldn't surprise me at all, quite frankly. I've had my dealings and run-ins.
The future.
It is the future, yeah. People don't really start to get in there and get involved. You know, and like they say, if you don't care about it, if you don't care to rule yourself and control your own destiny, then somebody else is going to control it for you. And I think that's sound advice to get out there and get involved.
All right. Well,
hang in there, Frank. It's not so bad. It's a good Saturday. You still got a bright, nice day ahead of you. You know, nice day. You know, what the heck? You know, that's the nice thing about this show. We don't get all that wrapped up in it. You know, we want to stay informed, stay enthused, get our daily, weekly sermon, so to speak. But hey, you know what? A lot of us have some pretty good lives still, if you know what I mean. It's not like all things.
Yeah, at least we have the Fetch, you know. We should be thankful.
Well, thanks for that, man. But you know what I mean. Come on, a lot of us have some pretty nice families and homes and stuff like that, and we got to be smart and keep it. And but that doesn't mean we get too depressed. What the heck? It doesn't do any good.
All right, I'll get out of your way. Thank you.
Thanks, Frank. All right, that's Frank, everybody. North Carolina, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. I think he's calling back. Frank, are you calling back, or is that an accident?
That is an accident. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. That was an accident, everybody. He's on to the next call. He's a busy guy. I used to be working in a call center, man. I would be like that. You drop one call, and the next thing you know, you can't breathe, and you're on to the next call again. Difficult job, man. I used to make like 150 calls a day, 200 calls a day. Oh, I hated those days. Those were tough days, everybody. Doing a little radio show 5 hours a week is a heck of a lot more entertaining than that. So basically, going back to this Jewish story, about meeting here. American Jews, they want to bring their British counterparts to basically, you know, they basically want to do what they're doing in Britain, I guess, maybe. Maybe they're trying to basically ensure that American politicians are Goy approved, not Goy, Jew approved before that you can actually run for office here. And that seems to be the case here. But Israel, let's be honest, guys, it comes with a very expensive price tag. We lose our freedoms. We lose our moral integrity. We lose our value. We lose a lot of our self-esteem in some cases. We lose our freedoms. Everything about the Jewish state is a net minus for the American people. And anything that Israel has, quite frankly, of value, we could presume that a good percentage of that was stolen from the American people anyways. Because we all know that Jews very rarely create anything. They only destroy. So we can assume as a general rule that much of the innovation that comes over off comes to life inside of Israel is really stolen. I mean, again, these guys have access to all of our intelligence networks. They have access largely to our communications grids, who calls who, when they call. So it's very easy for them to spy and steal because they have the data. Trust me, they have the data. I'll tell you a story years ago. Somebody stole. I used to have access to telecom switches. Okay. I had access to the switches. That means I could go in the back end like the Jewish people can do. And I can basically see when you called, the number you called, the number you called from, whether or not there was a calling card in between you. And I can tell you the time and duration of that call. So what happened, somebody came into my house, a house cleaner came in, took a bunch of prepaid calling cards that I had paid for, and I noticed it. So I went into the switch myself because they were on my network, and I could see that this woman called Sri Lanka, and I saw the number was her cell phone. I saw that it was here and there, and I said, basically, you have 5 days to repay that money, or else we are just going to simply call the police because we have the proof. Don't worry. We have the proof. And she paid me in 5 days. See, but that's the type of information you can get by having access to telecom switches. And of course, nowadays, it's much more sophisticated than that. Although that you can just glean a lot of information if you work this way. I got to learn to take that thing down. 212 area code. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Yeah, you, Frank, and David.
Tell you, he must be off today. He doesn't have to work. I just don't have time. I don't have patience for him today. Sorry, guys. Anyways, it says in this article here, it's a disgrace that Pompeo and 25 Democratic senators should be meeting privately with Jewish organizations to do things for Israel and the Jewish community that do not serve the interest of all Americans, up to and including meddling in the politics of the American people. And of course, this goes on inside of literally the UK also. So this idea of a Jewish international conspiracy, this isn't a joke. Why do Jews think this is a joke? You guys just proved it to us. Here we have the information of the meeting. You don't tell us it's going on. You don't tell us who's there. It all gets kind of gleaned apart from leaks within the Jewish media far away from American ears. And you want to call us an anti-Semite for seeing that you're engaging in a global Jewish conspiracy. Again, I'm not sure that what type of crack the Jewish people smoke. But for them to try to call us anti-Semites for recognizing stuff like this, it's like, dude, have you, we need to really examine the heads of these people. No longer should people stand by and cower, quite frankly, in the face of these Jewish people who scream anti-Semite at every little turn. It doesn't make sense. Jews are engaged in destroying the American way of life. They're into destroying the United States as it exists. And one case in point is what's going on the border. Literally, what's going on inside the border here? And Jews are getting arrested at various ICE centers. Why? Because they are basically trying to keep the borders open. Jews are getting arrested at the ICE centers, immigration and customs enforcement agencies, at these centers. And Jewish activists, they say here, behind Never Again Action, are at the forefront of a civil disobedience campaign that deliberately uses Holocaust terminology to protest migrant detention centers. Now, again, I say to all of you and to the Jewish community, if you in the Jewish community are going to use the Holocaust to justify destroying our countries, then we are going to use every effort possible to explore the Holocaust, to see what's going on there. We're not going to buy your BS and say, oh, really, never again. While you're doing it to us, you're creating genocidal tidal wave against us directly. Don't talk to us about never again. What do you think flooding our countries in with all of this riffraff is all about? You think it's all to make our society, oh, so much better? No, it's all about Jewish power and domination and a desire to destroy the United States of America and the Western world. I got to keep potting that down. Frank, hi, you're back.
Dennis, you and Frank and David Duke and Adolf Hitler and
throwing Joseph Stalin too, man.
I just had to make this point, and I'll get out of your way.
Sure.
You know, I'm picking up on what you're talking about. They're going to start using this Holocaust. They're starting to use this Holocaust terminology to basically browbeat us all into going along with the invasion of the illegal people coming across the border.
Correct.
Here's what we need to say.
Go ahead.
Let me run this by you. Let's send these people to Israel. If you care so much about these people, let's ship them to Israel and let you guys take care of them. How about that?
Which is absolutely a great thing to say. 100%.
Yeah. If you're going to bring the Holocaust into it, especially, let's take them to Israel. That's where they belong. If they're being Holocausted, that's what Israel was created for. Right. And you guys are, you know, blood brothers with these guys. Apparently you care so much about them like they're your family.
Can't argue, man. That's a great way. That's one of the ways we can go after it for sure. It's time for Israel to take 100% of these people, these Jewish front columns. Okay, take them. We give you guys enough money anyways. You can probably commission few C-130s and you'd basically use our C-130s at our expense. And I'll pay for that. How's that? I'll even pay for a couple C-5s.
Yeah, we're paying for it anyway.
Yes, we're paying for it anyway. So I'll put a couple C-5s together. You know, you guys can have a couple C-5s.
Wow.
You know, 500 people a trip, you know, 600 people a trip. Maybe we get Emirates to give us one of their A380s. You know, we'll lease an A380. You can fly like 560 to 700 out on those puppies.
Anybody out there listening that gets an opportunity, put that out there. Let's say, hey, look, you know, they're talking about the Holocaust and everything. Let's send these people on to where they can be protected.
Yes.
In Israel.
And they can add their names thanks. They can add their names to Vad Yisham or whatever the case is out there. Moving to Laguna. See, I got to know my states. Jack, hi. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Good morning and good afternoon.
Yeah, good morning, good afternoon. Actually, good evening for me, but good afternoon to the Europeans. How's that sound?
Sounds great, man.
Jack and Laguna, hey, everybody. How are you?
I'm all right, man. I listened to the suggested show that you told her I'd spoken about a couple of recordings ago, but listening to the Graham Hart show with Alison Chablow. Listened to that twice.
Good, huh?
Good stuff. Yeah. I like those people a lot. I'd like to go to Ireland and drink Guinness beers with them too when he collects money for all that equipment they're holding on to.
Yeah, you know, I had
smart people. It's always
I had to put my request in also.
Well, he suggested that that's what was going to happen, is he was going to use that money and bring you out to Ireland so you guys could sit down and drink some Guinness beer. So I was like, well, man, I'd like to join you guys so I could shoot the crap with you.
The problem I have with that, though, is that I've requested like a motorized wheelbarrow so that after I get so drunk, you know, and I can't walk anymore, they can throw me in the motorized wheelbarrow and get me home, because I don't need them carrying me home. That's not going to work.
Well, you know, that's why they call you guys the Fighting Irish.
That's true. That's true. Anyways, yeah, it was a good show. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did. And I listened to, I got an echo here. Can you hear that?
No.
Okay.
How about, yeah, I turned you down a little bit. That's okay.
So I also listened to your last Thursday show and heard Frank's rant. And, you know, I have some comments about that.
Okay.
This echo's really throwing me off. But anyhow, maybe I'll try to put up with it. You know, I used to listen to David Duke daily. And then it started to turn into Stormfront, the show that precedes David Duke's show. And David Duke called into Stormfront one day, and I had an opportunity to engage him and ask him a question. And I asked him, I said, hey, David, Mr. Duke, can you tell me from your perspective the significance of Freemasonry in this New World Order agenda? And he played it off. He said, Freemasonry doesn't really have any significance here, maybe more in Europe. And I knew immediately that he was full of crap, because I have some in my family. And one of them is that retired Navy captain who's a high degree Freemason, who is a cuck and a servant to the New World Order agenda cause. A lot of these judges, as well as Hollywood, and you see this esoteric symbology all over corporate America. This is who controls the parallel government. These are the servants to the Jews. If you listen to Tex Mars, he says Freemasonry is Judaism for Gentiles. And that's what Alison Chablot had spoke about, you know, is that Freemasonry is an issue. So I just wanted to chime in with that.
Okay. You know, it seems like that's where the trend's going. I don't think it was always meant to be that way. I think they were actually the original rebels against this Jewish construction, but it, you know, beginning 1776 with, and then of course you carry on further with the Scottish Rite, and the Scottish Rite is, to me, has been the more corrupting force. Again, there's other smarter people than I, so I shouldn't be commenting so much, you know what I mean, without sticking my foot in my mouth. But that's what I think had happened. I think now perhaps it's thoroughly corrupted, like P2 in Italy. That's pretty well documented. You can't argue with that one.
You know, it's funny you mentioned the headquarters for the Scottish Rite, North American Scottish Rite, is the Detroit Masonic Lodge. I went back home, and my cousin, whose father was a 33rd degree Mason, he passed away, said, yeah, they'll give you a free tour. So I called up and I scheduled an appointment to go visit. And the Freemason who welcomed me into the lodge actually knew my uncle. He gave me a huge hug. He said, your uncle was a good man. It turned out to be a 5-hour walking tour, one-on-one, of the Detroit Masonic Lodge. And I actually went into the Knights Templar meeting room. This is the largest Masonic lodge in North America. Wow. West of the Hudson River. They have a full-scale representation of the Westminster Abbey inside the Detroit Masonic Lodge, and that is the Knights Templar's meeting room. I pointedly asked the question to this Freemason who was a detective for the Detroit Corporate Council, retired. Did Albert Pike, who wrote Morals and Dogma and reveals that the light bringer of Freemasonry is Lucifer, did Albert Pike create the KKK?
Yeah, you went silent there.
So I've actually written an essay about that, and you're more than welcome to, you know, sit down and read it in my office. And I actually had a girl with me that came along, and I think that's why we got a 5-hour tour, because he took a liking to the girl that was with me. But that was my angle, and I used to listen to, you know, I listened to Alan Watt, right, of Cutting Through the Matrix, and Alan taught me that, you know, when I was pursuing a career in the film industry, he said, look, Hollywood is controlled by Freemasonry. And that's when my path started with studying esoteric symbology. And sure enough, it started to pop out everywhere in that town. CBS is the eye, NBC is the peacock, et cetera, et cetera. And I realized that the town, you know, is essentially controlled by these men. And this retired Navy captain in my family is operating there. He's there in Beverly Hills as well as in San Diego. And I was thinking to myself, well, what did the retired Navy captain, at the time he wasn't retired, but what was he doing in Los Angeles in the film industry? So I sort of recoiled, because I was pursuing a membership in Freemasonry, and I got back from Detroit and I saw a lecture by Dr. Walter Vaith, and he was reading from the text of others, and I realized I did not want to get associated with Freemasonry. Has Freemasonry been hijacked by the Jews? Possibly. But if you listen to Tex Mars, he would probably indicate that it's been controlled by them since the days of Babylon. But I think that's a big issue in Europe. It's a big problem here, because they've got the military officers, they've got the judges and the attorneys, they got them all wrapped around their finger, and they got them through the lodge. And well, that's where we got these Christian cucks, these Christian Zionists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to me, it's maybe you're talking about a National Socialist issue at this day, where you have to maybe route out both the Freemasonic element and the Jewish element. You cannot do one without the other, for sure. It's impossible.
Well, it seems to be that is a major challenge, that, you know, these men are, you know, it's just as in the military, the officer candidate schools, and then when you go to the military graduate schools of work, like the Naval War College in Newport, Rhode Island, they vet these military officers.
Sure.
And essentially, the Zionists are controlling these military academies as well as the war colleges. And so if they don't make the cut, then their careers do not progress throughout the chain of command.
With that,
and that's what I've observed.
With that, Jack, we're going to leave it, because we're going into a break. All good stuff, man. Thanks for calling in. Let me get moving on, because we got a commercial coming up. Back with more, everybody, right after this. Okay. So far, so good. Busy phones today, and we'll just head right on over to it. Again, Frank, you're busy today. Are you calling again? Go ahead.
I am, because I just have to set some things straight with some information that I have. I used to be very close to Alan Watt, okay?
Okay.
Not geographically, but I used to communicate. He was my main mentor, probably, after I woke up. He helped me to deal with all this stuff. Now, he's up in Canada, right?
Okay.
Now, I'm the one that introduced him to Alex Jones, and the reason I did that was I wanted to expose him to a bigger audience, okay? And I'm the one that got him on there. He became a regular guest there for a while. He was even in a lot of the InfoWars documentaries. I learned a lot from him. I learned a lot from him about, you know, all the little groups and, you know, whatnot that fall under the umbrella of the you know, New World Order and the people that are subservient and work in the interest of these elites. But, you know, I'll be honest with you, I got drunk one night. And this has been many years ago. I'm talking about back in the mid-2000s, okay? And we had been talking for several years, and I'd even called into a show a few times and whatnot. But, you know, I wrote him a long email one night, and I'd been drinking a little bit. So it was a serious email, but I basically told him what my conclusions, that I had come to, that I was convinced that at the top of the food chain, basically who everybody was working for was organized Jewry. And I'll be honest with you, at that time, I didn't expect to ever hear from him again. Because, you know, I was like, and he's going to think I'm this crazy, guy or whatever, full of hate and all that. But, when I woke up the next morning with a hangover, he had responded back, and he knew it was the Jews. He said, look, I'll go to prison. I'll go to prison. Do you understand? Okay. In Canada, they wouldn't let him do that. I mean, he lived out in the middle of nowhere, and he was harassed quite a bit. I mean, he had some really interesting stories. I mean, they went after him several times, pretty bad. You know about that, Fetch. And anyway, I just wanted to let Jack know that Alan White is not going to offer up that information, but he was candid with me once or twice about it. He knows. But the bottom line is, though, okay, Freemasonry. Yeah, I'm all for attacking Freemasonry. Quite frankly, I think Freemasons are stupid, ignorant people. Most of them, they're just a bunch of porch monkeys. You know, they're porch Masons, most of them. And they work. I mean, what haven't the Jews infiltrated is my point. We were talking about it earlier. The State Department, right? Yep. The Justice. I mean, what don't they control? They control the Freemasons. Freemasons, whether they know it or not, work for the interest. And I don't even know how much influence they have nowadays. I've never had any family members, in Freemasonry. Mm. I know my grandfather was in the Civitan, club. I think I've still got his letter opener. That's about as far as he ever went. He was a gentleman farmer and businessman and did pretty well for himself. But that's my background. I don't have any Freemasons in my family. Yeah, I'm all for attacking and exposing Freemasonry as a bunch of clowns, just like a lot of hosts are a bunch of clowns. And you are definitely not one of them. And I'm sorry, but David Duke is not either. I'll be honest with you. I'm not even going to say I personally even like David Duke, okay? Mm-hmm. But he's the best at what he does. And he does it with a smile on his face, and he comes out every day out of the gates like it's a life and death situation to expose Jewish power, to expose organized Jewry. And I'm sorry, I will defend him. Even if I don't like him personally, I will defend him. He's been doing it for 50 years. And I would defend you the same way, Dennis. So
yeah, I just wanted to make that. And I see no reason to go after these people either. I've heard Duke's message many times, and I have very little that I've heard that I would find issue with. So why would I want to go after somebody whose message is generally right there, spot on type of stuff? What do I need to go after him for? Much of what he says is, so we don't agree on everything. So what? I mean, I don't know enough about him to know even where I disagree. If you know what I mean. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But what I have heard from him is fine. I don't have a problem with the guy. For sure. Why should I?
Thank God. Thank God for David Duke. Thank God for Dennis Fetcho. And I do like you. I might not even necessarily like Duke, but thank God for him. I'll be honest with you. I have a hard time even listening to him anymore, to be quite frank. But I'm glad he's out there doing what he does, because he's great at waking people up. He has a certain way about doing it that's a little bit non-abrasive and everything. And he's able to wake people up. So anyway, I wanted to make that point. There's always another side to the story. There's always a whole lot more to the story.
Yeah.
And I've been doing this, not as long as you have, but I've been doing this a long time. I've devoted my whole life to this. So I know I can't always get out everything that I know and say in these phone calls over the shows, but trust me, I know a lot, and I've experienced a lot, and I know how all this works. I really do. I really do understand it.
Well, we like to
know
think
human
so
nature.
Too. Yeah. Okay. Sounds cool, dude. I just,
sorry, man. Thanks.
Thanks, man. That's Frank, everybody. 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. I don't want to get too much into the Freemasonic thing, because I'm on record of saying, look, the information that these guys preserved, is a backbone to a lot of what became the Western esoteric traditions, obviously, but also Western civilization. And, oh my goodness, now we're going to have dueling phone call debate here. Jack, you're back to rebut that. Maybe you turn off some speakers or something there because I hear an echo too. Go ahead. You got the rebuttal time. This is Jack again rebutting that. I'm just being the debating guy in the middle here.
Thank you. I appreciate you offering me the time, Dennis. I like David Duke for telling the truth, but for 2.5 years, 3 years since Donald Trump had been elected into office as the president of the United States, he would talk about this guy, Kushner, his son-in-law. And I was just crazy. I was jumping out of my own skin thinking, what is this guy doing? He's got one of the most Orthodox Jews in his family who's tied to a crime syndicate. Yet he says, Donald Trump's got to get this kid out of the White House. And I was just thinking, doesn't that tell you everything? And then you got Donald Trump sitting down and he's making a triangle hand sign. He does it every time. You can see pictures everywhere. And I'm just thinking, what the hell are these guys leading on the white nationalist, the European Christian demographic? And that's why I believe they are suspect.
Yeah, so even Jack, that. I just want to add, even this charade in a way with the social media summit this past Thursday, it's like, you know, everybody you brought there are the moderate personalities out there. They don't deal with the actual issues facing Americans, especially when it comes to the Jewish question here. Because to us, mine, you can talk about Freemasons. Mine is not with the Freemasons so much. It's more with the Jewish community and what they're doing. You know, this is where I'm at. Again, other people will have other opinions. Okay, focus on it. If it's an issue, go focus on it. I'm not smart enough to talk about it every week, if you know what I mean. So
I'm just trying to indicate that Freemasonry controls the American judiciary system and the military officer command chain. To pivot, I would say, you know, the first synagogue in America, do you know where it's at, Dennis?
No.
Newport, Rhode Island. Do you know where the first slave trade route is in America?
Newport, Rhode Island?
You got it.
But again, that's a Jewish issue.
That is. I mean, I'm just talking about how they, you know, how the Jews operate. Look at the Irish slave trade and what they did to the Irish people. Right.
Yep.
And you know, that's why I liked listening to Alison Chablot and Graham Hart and Breiser, because I could feel that energy. I could feel the fight within their voices. And I'm with them. I'm tired of this BS. And I could sense it in Frank as well.
Well, most of us who listen to this show are fed up with it. It's so we just come and kind of like vent for a couple hours and come up with ideas and talking points and ways to move forward. I think everybody who listens to this show is tied into that, Jack, to be honest with you. This is one of the cutting edge shows out there about this type of topic. There's nothing, nobody else is doing this, to be honest. I'm surprised.
Just venting, Dennis. It's not just venting. You provide artillery, intellectual, mental artillery. So when you're out in the field and cucks, you could put them in their place very quickly.
That is the point. That is the issue here. We want to make sure there's value to it. We have right now a platform. Everybody seems to be wanting to rebut this in. I don't want to turn it into a round table. First of all, Unknown, welcome back to Inside the Eye Live.
It's well known. You know who I am, Fitch.
Who's this?
It's Miles.
Oh, Miles. Oh, see, you come in as Unknown. Okay, Miles, welcome back.
Yeah. Well, you know, I appreciate Jack and Frank, of course.
There's everybody, by the way, just guys, just in fairness, everybody's now on the line. Jack is on the line. Frank's on the line. So just so everybody's clear. So, okay, go ahead, Miles.
Well, I just wanted to remind Jack And I don't know how much of this is actual fact, but Trump wanted Kushner and Ivanka both out of the White House. And Trump was given the word that for Trump's, you know, good graciousness, that he needs to keep Kushner and Ivanka right there. So Trump had demanded that they leave. I don't know if anybody's aware of that or remembers it. And I'm not going to say Trump's perfect. And, you know, I think Duke was right, though, when he supported Trump. And I think the people that supported Trump supported him for the right reasons. But whenever we support any of these people for the right reasons, they somehow get to Washington, D.C. and go sideways.
Sheldon Adelson financed Trump.
And who else? And he's financed everybody, though. That's my point.
Yeah, it's true, Jack. I mean, these guys, they finance everybody. They don't care. They're like betting on all the horses. They don't care who they bet on.
What do we do? Let Sheldon Adelson finance Hillary and put up with her? Is that the solution? I mean, no, that's not taking us anywhere. And as far as this Freemason and all this other stuff, okay, I think we do a good job of identifying who's got the power and who gives us the problems. Here's the question. What are we going to do about getting some power? That's the question, not who's got it now and how they got it and how long it's been going on. What do we do to get it?
Well, I want to interject with one thing, Miles, is that in the Masonic Lodge, you have a double-headed eagle on one body. Right? Two heads, one body. And that's the dialectic. They control the argumentative process. You have the thesis, the antithesis, and the synthesis. They control the argumentative process. So you can say that's the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, Congress. And they control the results that Congress has in their opposition and arguments. So whether it's Hillary or Donald Trump, it's going to be the same damn group that controls Congress and the United States presidency in the world because of this damn dialectic.
I gotcha. I follow you on all that. I can agree on all that. That's not a problem, But here's the thing. When this country was founded, the Masons were out here. And as you mentioned, I think, pretty acutely, what happened? They infiltrated these organizations and these people.
But yeah, even George Washington, guys, even George Washington said, look, if we don't hunt down this community and basically exterminate them, they're going to, in 200 years, destroy everything that we built and worked for. That's a quote that's out there. And these people were quote unquote Freemasons then also.
Yeah, so we're fighting a millennial opponent here, but the thing is, they're not going to stop fighting. The thing is, how do we get ourselves in position to get power, such as the civil rights movement did, and many of these other movements? How does the European get themselves listened to? And I think that's where our fight is. And I think one way we do it is by having guys out here like Fetch, because he's our go-to guy, in my opinion. I mean, if somebody wants to debate any of this stuff, let Fetch go to him. I put him up with any of the best of the opponents.
That would be
fun.
Well,
if Americans shut off ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, and turned on Dennis Fetcho and Andrew Carrington Hitchcock and David Duke, maybe we'd have a fighting chance.
Well,
We've got these think tanks like the Rand Corporation and the Macy Group and the Frankfurt School, and all these damn Jews are basically social engineering this psyop on the entire world culture.
Yeah, this is recognized. Exactly. We all agree with that. Again, everybody agrees with that. Yeah. But the issue is communication is the key. And what happens typically is that which is working in a light will provide a mechanism to advance something good. And what they were provided us with today is this thing known as the internet. So for us, we have limited time, just like Jews have. We have to fill it with as important information as possible. Sure, keep it light, keep people coming, but we have at least some type of chance. The fact of the matter is, you wouldn't have had, with a Hillary, a bunch of social media guys sitting in the White House. It never would have happened. Wouldn't have needed to happen. not like it happened here. So, again, the message is advancing. You can't expect an operation that took 200 years to put into play to be turned around overnight. It's not realistic. So we have to, again, as Putin says, democracy can be somewhat messy and it takes a long time, but it's preferable to blood on the streets.
Yeah, and Fetch, you know, I'd like to just add something here, an observation that I make myself. Anyway, whenever they do any of these things or have these issues, they show us what to do, if you really look at it. And what do they do to us on YouTube and whatever the platform? They debase, they defund. And you know what? That's what we've got to do, too. And
exactly.
That's why boycott, divestment, the sanctions have been successful, despite it not getting as much attention as it should.
But they're panicked by it. They are fighting this tooth and nail. They're panicked by it.
And that's why we have to keep up. We got to do what they do. If we want to win like Trump talks about winning, well, then we got to win the way they win. We got to use all the people they use. We got to stay within the system they got. We just got to manage to come up with a opportunity to be more persuasive in that.
Yeah. And remember, guys, you know, and this is coming out of the chat room, Nick Donina in the chat room. 15 years ago, you were absolutely skewered and shouted down just to even hint at the word Jew. Just to even hint. Now they can't control this anymore. Again, so it's not an easy guy. I'll be honest, I cannot see, not that I'm saying Trump is perfect, because I don't like a lot of what he's doing. But I tell you what, compared to a Hillary Clinton, I'm going to take the lesser of the two evils, even if people just think that's a cop-out. Look, I don't make those decisions between the two. I don't make it. I only have a choice. And if I got to have to have a choice, I'm going to take the lesser of the two evils while we buy some time. And that, to me, is all that Trump was about, was buying time. It's all about buying time.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I just wanted to let Jack know how much I enjoy his calls. And it's nice hearing a fellow Armenian.
Thanks.
You know, he's got a lot of great contributions. And I enjoy talking with him and I enjoy listening to him. Okay. I never have got to talk to him before, but I've listened to him. He's really got some valuable input. Just like Frank and all these callers. But, you know, I really do think that it's just going to take, time. And it's slow. It was slow getting here. You know, when you look back at the history, look at all the people they've hammered against. Coming from Detroit, Jack, Father Coughlin, who's a big influence on Joe McCarthy. Frank Murphy from Detroit, who was actually the originator of many of this. Much of the stuff that people don't even understand it. They don't know who Frank Murphy is, other than that he's in the Hall of Justice downtown is still named after him. He was such an impacting man and had such an impact on Joseph McCarthy because they were both judges before Joseph McCarthy was in politics and became a senator. And so, you know, they've always been it. There's always been that fight against the people who would support our side. But the thing is, we can't give up. And we need new, you know, we need new Joseph McCarthy's, and we need new people with the spirit of what the John Birch Society was founded on. And these are the type of things we need. But right now we get Richard Spencer. He's a white this, he's a supremacist, he's this. And, you know, they don't recognize us for our intelligence or our commentary or historical.
Yeah, exactly. It's all your extremists, racists, conspiracy theorists. It's all demeaning. Frank, you want to jump in real quick? Because we're going to go into break in about one minute.
Just for the edification of the audience, because I know most people, I'm assuming, probably don't listen to David Duke. They just know him by his reputation. But he has come out, and I've been very critical. And I mean, I have just wanted to get my hands around his neck or his ongoing support of Trump as long as it went on. But he has come out in recent weeks. I've heard it come out of his own mouth. He has called Trump a traitor and a total sellout. Okay. So he's no longer behind Trump any more than Dennis is, you know, as just buying us a little bit more time, stopgap, and you know, buying us more time to what, though? Because
there's nobody. Yeah, that's what everybody tells me, Frank. There's nobody on the horizon. It's a very difficult situation right now. There's nothing on the horizon.
All right.
Thank you, Dennis. All right, guys. Thanks for the call. Yeah.
I'd like to add to that, though. You know, there's nobody on the horizon, but who saw Booty Catch on the horizon, and who saw Ocasio on the horizon, and who saw Obama on the horizon?
Well, that's
maybe
true.
Maybe we do have someone on the
Maybe there's something in the wings we don't know about yet. Again, I've never felt that the white Western nations are going to just absolute capitulate without a fight. I've never believed that. We're not that stupid. And we have to trust. That's all we can do at this stage because we don't have access to it. But you just can't create the environment where you don't have political, political movement to bring new people in. You have to keep expanding that envelope to where we are much more, you get the critical mass, in other words, to make things change. And Trump at least brought the white nationalism part to the fore, thanks to Jewish talk. We've got the issues of nationalism at least on the table, which we never had before. So, guys, we're going into a break. I don't know if you want to just hang over, but we're going into a break, everybody. It's The Fetch. Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware. Back with more right after this. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware. Things are actually, let me just check real fast before we get back to the phones. I believe the chat room is officially humming. Guys, are you humming there? No, you're not humming. It's good, but it's not humming in the chat room. Join us in the chat room, 1-3-2-3-2-2. Yeah, right. InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button. Telephone lines, 1-3-2-3-2-7-5-1-3-1-4. We have two callers on the line, Miles in Maine and Jack in Laguna, California. Guys, I got one thing for you coming from messages. The Obama phenomena, okay? You guys are with me?
Yeah.
Okay, now look, the Obama phenomena, let's be straight up, it was an enigma because none of it is as it's presented to the public. None of it. The guy never, he's gay, okay? He's a transgender wife. The kids then are not real. Everything about Obama was a mirage in a very real way. And the information I have, and again, I'm not 100% at that level, but the information I have is that Trump, there was an operation with Obama to really, really take down the country super fast. And that the Trump administration was basically, they've stopped that operation. Now, that doesn't mean things are perfect. It's very difficult, but that operation has been largely stopped. Where do you guys stand on this type of idea? First, start with Jack. 30 seconds, Jack.
Well, I would just recant that Obama's entire career was engineered by the Chicago crime syndicate. And, you know, they put him in the office. And then I think I was listening to Andrew Carrington Hitchcock discuss on one of his shows with Pastor Eli that his career was planned when he was a young man. So there you have it.
Okay. Miles?
Yeah, could you give me that question?
The question is that essentially Obama was groomed by some very dark, seedy elements inside the CIA to do what happened. Everything about Obama was a mirage. This guy's a fraud. He's probably not even a U.S. citizen, which makes everything that he put really is not even legal. Everything he signed is illegal relative to any corporate contract with the United States. Trump stop that operation. What's behind Trump has been put in to stop that operation. It now has largely been stopped. Where do you stand on this position as far as this reality?
Well, I'm appreciative and thankful that it's been stopped. But, you know, when it comes to the camp of our opposition, the left, the socialists, whatever you might want to call them, they're all manufactured. I mean, you look at Clinton. You know, you see this, his campaign was this Hope and all this from Hope, Arkansas. And, you know, he won the some award. He got to go see President Kennedy and it changed his life. And he was totally manufactured. And a lot of people say, Clinton was the bastard Rockefeller child. You know, you look at all these people are manufactured. Cortez won this contest or whatever, and they decided to get behind her. I mean, it's like...
I don't even... Honestly, guys, I don't think anybody even voted for Cortez. I just think she was put there. I don't think there was any votes for her. I think they just says, okay, you're Cortez, you're going to become a congressman. Get ready.
Yeah, I think if the Republicans were smart this election cycle, and you wanted a hell of a fundraiser, what you do is in all 50 states and all the Republican counties across the country, you hold a fundraiser, you sell tickets, and you pull a ticket, and the winner gets a weekend in Ocasio's district, and you get to look at the mentality that would put her in office. And I think you make a fundraiser out of it.
It would be a fundraiser, too, a fun one. Guys, anything else you want to finish with? Because we want to move on. Anything you want to finish with? Because we do want to move on.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, Rick Adams, who is a good truth teller on the airwaves, played some recordings of Father Coughlin from Royal Oak, Michigan. And I grew up near that church. I've been inside Father Coughlin's church. I would urge everyone to pull up YouTube, and listen to Father Coughlin's lectures. That guy was very powerful. And Dennister, the modern day Father Coughlin, you're out there amongst other peers like Andrew Hitchcock and David Duke that are waking up the American people. But I have to digress in concerns to the Republican Party, Ronald Reagan, Arnold Schwarzenegger, the governor of California, Donald Trump. They're all manufactured. They control the dialectic. And whether, you know, Donald Trump chimed off with a lot of great things before he was put into office. But what has he done since then? So, you know, they are taking the American people for a roller coaster ride. And the only people that are out there that are really pitching the truth are guys in modern day present times are guys like you, Dennis.
Yeah, I don't see
Andrew
them.
Farrington Hitchcock,
I don't see them getting me. I don't see them putting me into a position of power anytime soon, although I'd have some influence behind. All right, I'm going to drop the call then. Thanks so much, Jack, for the extra input. We got more people coming in. Miles, your closing statement here. Miles? I guess Miles dropped off. Mike, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Dennis, all right. I thought we lost everybody there. So, hello. Welcome to the Inside the Eye Live. Long time since we heard you call.
Yeah, well, somebody mentioned about the Obama phenomenon, and I just wanted to kick in and bring everybody up to date on how all these little secrets are being kept out there, and that is that if you're born from a mother Jew, you're considered Jewish always. If you go back all the way to Franklin Delano Roosevelt, every president we've ever has been born from mother Jews, and yes, JFK's mother, Rose Kennedy, was Jewish. The Kennedys are all Jewish, okay? Go do your own damn research. Now, the only exception is Ronald Reagan. But Nancy Reagan, his wife, was 150% Jew. Okay? Now, Obama got his Jewishness from his mother. His mother's name is Stanley Ann Dunham. She was named a male name because her father wanted a male son, and he didn't get one. He got Stanley. So that's how she got her name. Stanley Ann Dunham is from the Armour Meatpacking Jewish dynasty in Kansas City. Fact. So if you're born from mother Jew, you're considered Jewish always. Don't look at these Christian names that they're hiding amongst us. Look for the mother Jew, and you will find it. That's how they're all cousins to each other, and a lot of these are related to that divinity nonsense, okay? So that's where the dirty little secret lies. Also, the top 10 or 12 families in Mexico are all Jewish. Vicente Fox, a former president of Mexico, his daughter, Columba, is married to Jeb Bush. Didn't know that, did you, huh? Mm-hmm. Well, she is. There's many, many things going on out here. Just have to look and see how it's being hidden behind the scenes. And once you identify that, there's no way you can hide it anymore. It's sitting right there in front of you. We've been compromised. I don't see any other way out of this thing except that it's been, we've been fraudulently taken over, and American heritage needs to come back. Also here in the Southeast, you're beginning to see an African takeover of the Southeast. Be very careful with that. That's being done deliberately. These people who are coming in as illegals into the southern border of America are infiltrating this country. They're taking the white race, and they're pretty much stamping out the white race is what they want. The minorities are coming here to do two things, to vote you and breed you out of your own country. I don't know how much more you're going to take, but people like the governor of California need to be dealt with very severely. That guy's a nutcase. Pelosi's a nutcase. Schumer's a nutcase. Bloomberg's a nutcase. Anything's Jewish, but not nutcases. It's DNA demonic is what it is. They're just whack jobs. And big money backs them all up. So the big money's where it's all at. You got to stop the big money and go after the people with the big money. And then you'll start seeing maybe a change. But we're heading for a revolution in this country. And this is nothing more than a Bolshevik invasion of this country. That's all it is to it.
I agree with that. This is the same thing they did to South Africa. They're just creating the conditions to do a takeover of the country through subterfuge. Literally, they are invading it and putting in their political operatives for a little literal demographic and political takeover of the country. This is an invasion. It really is.
The white race is being replaced by minorities. Minorities don't have a lock in this country. I say go back to 75% of the white European Christian-based people and 25% of minorities. Don't have a problem with that. I work with a lot of minorities at the top end. They're really good people. They don't want anything to do with all this nonsense. They want the freedoms to come and go and be treated equally, but they've earned that. And when you come in here and you don't earn it, you've given it to you, you have no idea how much of a, you just don't have any respect for it. You go and you do whatever you want to do, but these statues have been taken down. That's my heritage, man. I've had in the Civil War, I've had my ancestors on the North and the South fight both ways. And also, let me also tell you, the Holocaust, of course, we all know it's a hoax, okay? It's a joke. But the history books have taken the Revolutionary War and the Gettysburg Address have been removed from the history books, period. And the Holocaust is the biggest lie ever perpetuated. Everybody, if you just look at all those pictures that are being thrown in your face, ask which one of those people you see in those pictures is a Jew. 1 out of 20, according to the Red Cross, is Jewish. There are 271,000 deaths in 19 different camps during the four-year war, and that's it, okay? And 1 out of 20 of those was Jewish. That means only about 10,000 were Jewish. Not one of them, Dennis, not one died of gassing, not one.
Of course
not. It's a hoax.
Yeah.
A joke. It's a lie. And this is what they're doing, is they're taking these lies, and they're telling us, but the law says you have to accept it. No, I don't. If I was in Germany, I would start looking after every damn judge you put in. Any of my people away. And you know what? It's time you got your comeuppance. You get your ass out of here while you can't, or we're going to terminate you one way or the other. This is where we have to go to get this stuff turned around. This is nonsense.
Yeah, there's a lot
of anger. I've always contended have to remove them from positions of power and authority. Never let them become gatekeeper positions, appointing all their friends. Never let them into politics. Then you've got to herd them into a kosher slaughterhouse and tell them, you either stop what you're doing or you're going to be turned into a Soylent Green fertilizer.
Yeah, there's a lot of anger on the streets by people who really grasp what's going on.
Yeah, it's going to explode. And you know what? Wait until the Muslims find out that they are responsible for 15 million Muslims in the Middle East for being murdered over there. The Jews are responsible for that. Nobody else is. And when the Muslims start racking it up, I wouldn't want to be in a synagogue or I wouldn't want to be a Jew. I guarantee you they're making themselves targets. And it's their own damn fault. They couldn't enjoy the freedoms of America. They had to control all of it. Once the Jews put their hands on something, they destroy everything in sight. So that's my take of it. I don't know about anybody else, but that's what I see happening. And every time I hear Pelosi, how in the world did that piece of she's a bat cave. That woman needs to be taken out one way. She needs to go. And Schumer is just a whack job. And why do you always hear on the news always a Jew with his opinion? You know, it's worthless. So.
It's been that way for. All right. Thanks so much for that. That's Mike, everybody. in the South. And I kind of agree with a lot of what he's saying, to be honest with you. I get tired, quite frankly. This was going back 1998, 2000, 2002 for me. It's like, what? Why is every single pundit going across the screen? Why is it 70% of these people are Jewish? Why do you need to just flood me with a bunch of morons on my own television? Of course, by 1999, I was very well aware of mind war, and of course, mind war is the use of the media to try to control narratives, to try to create realities that really don't exist by forcing these realities into quote-unquote reality. You know, the Holocaust would be one of those realities that just does not exist, and people believe it exists. There's no way around it. Going back to, again, telephone lines 1-323-275-1314. You know, going back to this idea of Jews behind the destruction of the United States, we want to go back to the idea of Jewish organizations now flooding, protesting, whatever, at ICE centers, ICE, which is Immigration and Customs Enforcement in the United States. And it's becoming a major issue. People aren't really hearing about it, I'm sure, because Americans, Jewish media is probably not reporting on it. It's coming largely out of Middle East newspapers like the Times of Israel. So what they're talking about is physically blocking entrances to ICE detention centers. This is according to a handbook that they put out. They are basically chanting in Yiddish. They're doing Hebrew prayers. And then quoting here, defiant, angry, urgent, Jewish, reads the Never Again is Now Action Toolkit. It is a 6-page Google doc meant for Jews planning to protest at Immigration and Customs Enforcement Detection Centers. And the goal is to actually make it impossible for ICE and for the Democratic establishment to do business as usual. So that's as it's being worded there. And it says, find the choke point and shut it down. We are not effing around here. Now, we hear so much about how the white nationalists or those who are nationalists are the extremists. How many times have you seen Google protecting a document like this that calls for literally taking down federal governmental institutions involved in essentially processing and following and enforcing really the laws of the United States of America? Yet Jews believe it's their responsibility, using this stupid moronic mesmer called Never Again, to somehow come in and create conditions upon which the Western European population will have to deal with literally a flood of non-Europeans into their countries. And let's be honest, Jews are going to expect everybody like you to go support these people. Now, in Boston and New Jersey, we had some protesters arrested at the entrance of detention centers. In Washington, we've had arrests in the rotunda of the Cannon House office building. There's been at least 6 actions in total that have taken place so far at ICE facilities across the country. They've been co-sponsored with other groups, according to Sophie Elman Golan, an organizer of the New Jersey demonstration. Never Again Action is planning another demonstration in D.C. this coming Tuesday to culminate this series or this round of protests, as they say. But my point is this. Why are Jews so actively involved in pro-immigration and the destruction of our countries? And that is a question we can ask and actually remain silent on. Why are Jews so actively involved in the destruction of our nations? It's a great question, but it's clear. We don't make this up. We just observe. Here are Jews live streaming, breaking the law, protesting, whatever you want to call it, on various social media platforms that they happen to control, that they don't allow us to even rebut upon. They're employing the Hebrew song, so we can see that this is basically, we'll just call it that. It's our right. We'll say this is supported by the Israeli nation and the Israeli people and the Jewish people. They got the same crap that they always talk about. Oh, they, you know, we're an eternal flame and it's going to be lit on this altar. And oh, we're beacons of light and all this other BS that they like to talk about. They talk about their God is the one who makes peace. Give us a break. Peace will come at you at the speed of shalom. And shalom backwards is molasses. And if you ever rely on Jews and their God to bring you peace, you're going to end up with basically peace at the speed of molasses. 708 area code. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hey, Fetch.
Hello.
Sounds like you got a caller-filled broadcast here, so I figured in the last couple minutes I'll join in.
Well, we got about 6 minutes to go, so let's be quick.
I got you. I'll need to fill a couple minutes then. You know, around July 11th, Elizabeth Warren comes out, and part of her platform is she's going to, she vows to increase the foreign nationals migrating into the United States by 700%. That's eight times the rate of President Trump's refugee total last year, which is a lie. He's a lot more snuck into this country than sanctioned admittance to this country. 2,000 were admitted, they suggest, at a time when 70 million are displaced around the world. President Trump has abused his authority to lower the refugee cap. I don't get that. But admitting just over 22,000 refugees, maybe 22,000, maybe they have on the books and said, okay, you're sanctioned or you went through a judge. I don't know. But there's millions already passed through this border since Trump has been in office. Warren writes, I'll welcome 125,000 refugees in my first year and ramping it up to 175,000 refugees per year by the end of my first term. It's ridiculous.
No, this is...
Now you ask why. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying it is ridiculous. You know, it just article came out here in the Middle East about the issues Jordan is facing, where they just really, they are just starting to crack now because the donor system's not working anymore. They've got something like 12% to 14% of their population is just Syrian, just Syria. And you've got other nationals here also. So the Jordan economy is absolutely cracking. It's filled. A lot of people have left, like we're leaving, simply because the cost of bearing, you know, all this refugees is too much. Plus you add in the banking system, you know, even Nuchin today. I don't know if you saw the news today. Nuchin was saying, look, we're running out of money already. We're actually running out of money already. And so America can't support this anymore. I don't know what these politicians are thinking, but you just cannot support non-productive elements in your society. And that's what Warren and all these Democrats seem to think is okay. You can support all this non. I mean, here in the Middle East, man, you have to be a native citizen to be a citizen. You can be Palestinian, dude, born here in Saudi Arabia, and you're still Palestinian. You ain't going to become a Saudi, period. And we need to consider these types of actions because all these people coming to our nation, look, you want to come here, you're just never going to be a citizen. So forget it. And we're going to eventually catch you if you don't follow the law, and we're going to deport you whether you like it or not. And that's how it has to be done.
Regarding this Warren story, who is she vowing this to? She's not vowing it to a real Americans. Real Americans are going, yeah, Elizabeth, we want to be more economically stressed, we want to be more endangered, we want to make sure there's so many people here we have no idea who they are and what kind of morals they do or do not have. We want this. Who do you think she's vowing this to? She's obviously vowing it to the powers that should not be, because she's not vowing it to even other migrants that are coming here. If they're such in danger of coming from another country where they're running away from it, import more of these people that I'm running away from into the same place that I just ran to. None of it makes any sense. She's obviously vowing it to the powers that should not be, which would be, you know, I'll put the layman term on it, the globalists, who was, it's many factions. It's not just the U's. It's not just the U's.
Sure,
it's a bunch of them together. You know, they're all associated. They've all made their agreements and with their shared power economically, and they're all going to each have their slave class, and they're all going to be, you know, residing in their plantations and have the most and the best food and everything else and so on and so forth, while all remaining slaves on the earth are running around. So wherever this is, again, she's vowing it to these globalists. She isn't vowing it to a real American or whatever else. So let's get back to, let's get into the why real quick. We're only got a couple minutes here, but look, with those towers going down on September 11th, which nobody's been prosecuted to this very day, for they administered their World War III, which their World War III was to go into the Middle East and Africa to get all these military operations going. They turned Iraq into rubble. They turned Syria into rubble. They turned Yemen into rubble. They turned Libya into rubble. They turned all these places into rubble, which people were living, were residing. They had a society, a civilization of sorts. May not have been the best, but it definitely wasn't the worst. They were getting along and getting along, but they turned them into rubble. Now these people that had homes, they no longer have homes. They have manufactured refugees. It's not a manufacturing of refugees industry. Now these people are homeless. Now some people got killed, but not enough people got killed. Although one caller said 15 million or whatever, absolutely true. Listen to Kevin Barrett's broadcast from last night, The True Jihad. He has a guy in the second hour who talks about this. But then, so now they got, that would be just too much noise. It'd be too messy to just go and kill off the rest. So it's more, it's clean and it's economically feasible to take these people because they're done with these Western nations. They're done with Europe. They're done with the United States. They're done with the Canada. These people, these places are all going to go into climate change. This is old territory, too many established regions. So they're putting all these people in these Western nations while they rebuild the Middle East and the whole continent of Africa in their image. But they're getting rid of the riffraff so they can have, and South America, by the way, El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala, they're getting rid of them on their, they're reclaiming the lands in those territories as well, because that's going to be all theirs. They're going to grow their food, they're going to be able to be safe, and they're getting rid of all the riffraff, and they're terrorizing every one of these nations, including South America. They got people going into towns, killing the fathers, raping the mothers, taking the children and whatever else, and reclaiming that land, taking it for themselves so they can have it for themselves, and like, whoever's left,
you know, leave it. Yep, and leave it with that, because guys, you kind of closed out the show there because we are absolutely out of time. Thanks for listening, everybody. Chicago Brew speaking from Chicago. We will see you all Thursday inside the iLive prime time, 3 o'clock p.m. Actually, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. See you
right back after this message.